the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So today we're beginning part three of Luisa and Divine Justice. Jesus said to St. Faustina that he's going to give the world a time of mercy, and then the world will receive the time of justice. And when we read in the Book of Heaven, what we read is God saying to Luisa, "You, Luisa, will bring divine justice to the earth." And Luisa kept on saying, "I don't want to do this. I don't want anything to do with punishing the people." But the divine justice is more than punishment. For those that love God, it's going to be ecstasy. So Jesus is getting us ready for this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And this is what divine justice is going to be for those who love Jesus, those who love Mary. Now, for your family members who are away from God, away from the church, what Jesus is going to show you is a new beginning for... I don't know, can you guys hear? Is it too loud?
No.
Okay. Okay, so... I lost my place. All right, so anyways, let's begin with Volume 13, November 19th, 1921. This is Part 3. Since, Jesus says, "I wanted my Mama Mary with me as the first link of mercy to the world, and through which we, Jesus and Mary, were to open the doors to all souls. I wanted, as God, to lean my right arm on the Blessed Mother. And I wanted you, Luisa, as the first link of divine justice, to prevent divine justice from unloading itself upon all of humanity, of all souls, as they deserve. Therefore, I, God, wanted to lean my left arm on you, Luisa, so that you might sustain it together with me." So here we see, first of all, that when the apostles said to Jesus, "I want to sit at your right and your left," and Jesus said, "That's not for me to give. That's been destined to those who my Father has chosen," we now see who that those two are. So when we hear Sacred Scripture talk about the apostles wanting to sit on the right and the left, we immediately think of Our Lady and Luisa. Now, why? Because Jesus suffered the most. We see Jesus crucified, and to his right is Mary, who suffered at the foot of the cross. She co-redeemed with Christ. She sacrificed her son. Either we all died or Jesus died for us. That's what she chose. She chose us over her son, knowing this is what the Father wanted. And now we see the third person who suffers the most, and that's Luisa, linked to Jesus and Mary. So what is so beautiful about this is... why Luisa? Well, when you read the 36 volumes, you see very clearly that Luisa was crucified by Jesus every day. Luisa, just to get a small understanding, when she was 17 years old, once she received the mystical marriage, what happened after that is Jesus said to her, go to your room and stay there. So for the rest of her life, she stayed in bed. For the rest of her life, she did not eat, drink, or sleep. And what Jesus did at that point, because of her obedience, Jesus gave her the 36 volumes, which now we have been given by Jesus himself, he says. If you have the 36 volumes, it's Jesus himself who has given these to you. And he says very clearly that there's no other book on the face of the earth that will transform souls. There's no other book. And so when we look at all the books in the libraries, when we look at all that has been written by man, we say, how can this be? And Jesus says, because he, the Word of God, dictated these words to Luisa, who wrote them down. And as we read these words, Jesus says each word is a divine life. Why is it a divine life? Because it's spoken by God. By God, Jesus, the Word, speaks these words. These are divine lives. And as we breathe them in, He expands our capacity to understand more of this book of heaven, to understand the language of heaven. So what is really spectacular is this. He says about Adam, he says, I breathed everything I could into dust, image and likeness. This is what he breathed into the dust, and that became man, image and likeness of God. He says, we have been created with a body already. It cannot be expanded. The only way it can be expanded is by breathing in each word that Jesus has spoken to Louisa. So every time we read, he expands our capacity to understand more. So the Lord is asking us, would you please begin to understand that this new era is of Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. Now the Old Testament, and this is what Jesus says, the gift, the greatest gift that I gave to the Old Testament was transfiguration, where there was Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. Jesus fulfilled the law and the prophets. Now that's the Old Testament, and why is it the Old Testament? Is because Jesus did not die, wasn't crucified, suffered, died, and rose from the dead. That didn't happen yet. The great outpouring of the Holy Spirit didn't happen yet. The church wasn't born yet. So one of the last things in the Old Testament is Jesus on Mount Tabor. And so the Old Testament was Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. Once the New Testament began, and we always saw this with Venerable Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen, he would always write JMJ on top of the blackboard, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. And we were to live the life of Nazareth, the house of Nazareth, of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. That's what each family should have been. And now, Jesus says, as the new era begins, and the new era begins because of Louisa, we have Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. So whenever you have a statue of Jesus, a statue of Mary, always make sure that the three of them are together. Now, one of the things is the symbol of Louisa is the bell. And I always, when I can't fit a statue or a picture of Louisa in, I just put a bell in Jesus' hand. Because he says in volume 37, 1935, it was December 7th, 1935, I will ring you, Louisa, the bell, continuously until everyone enters into the kingdom. So this is the same thing with the Benedictine oblates. The symbol of St. Benedict was also a bell. And the exorcism of bells is so important, as we'll show later on today, when the priest prays those words, and it's a long prayer, it's seven psalms, when the demons must hear at one ring all those words and must obey. See, the demons must obey the priest. This is why exorcisms are done by the priest, directed by the bishop. There's a lot of people involved in deliverances, and that's a scary thing, because most people, lay people, do not have the power, the angelic powers, to fight the demons. And unfortunately, many people get involved in that, and they mislead a lot of people. So what we want to do is, you want to go to the priest for any so-called deliverances, if he has permission from the bishop. See, it's the authority of the church. It's not just somebody saying, I want to do this. That's Protestantism. It's like somebody saying, well, we don't need the priest for Mass. I can go up there and say, this is my body, this is my blood, and it's Eucharist. Well, unfortunately, it doesn't work like that. So what Jesus is asking us is to really begin to understand with his perspective divine understandings. So he says, so Louisa is the first link of divine justice to the world. Why? To prevent divine justice from unloading itself upon all of humanity as they deserve. See, when we read the three appeals, what does Jesus say? He says, I'm tired of the way you're living. And since you have not come after me, he says, I, God, am going to come after you. So he says, I'm going to wage a war against mankind, but it's not a war of blood, but it's a war of love, and mankind will not be able to push me away again. And there will be one church, one flock, one shepherd. So he says this at this point because he has to give the devil what the devil wants. He has to give everybody what they want. That's the frightening thing about your free will. God has to give you what you want. So what happens is after the inauguration, there's a march on Washington of women saying, we want to kill our babies. And then next week, there's a march on Washington where it says, we want to save our babies. See, God is saying, I came for division. And last night we were talking, and it's not black, gray, and white anymore. It's black and white. And where we stand is what we're going to get. And so this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit is going to come basically when, see, sin begets sin. And if we live in a world filled with sin, what happens at that point, then we have to have more sin come upon the earth. And this is what Jesus said to Louisa. He said, I, as God, am in charge. And you want sin? You want demons? I'm going to give them to you. See, that's what's coming. It's the release of all the demons of hell. For us who love Jesus, love Mary, who want to be faithful to the Catholic faith, to the Catholic Church, to the universal life, God will give us the peace, the joy, the happiness to get through what's coming. But what's coming is what God has to do. He has to say to the devil, do you want the hell? I'll give you hell. He says to our family members, do you want hell? I'll give you hell. He says to us, do you want heaven? I will give you heaven. I will give you what you want. So that's the frightening thing about our human will, our free will. It leans towards evil. So that's why Jesus says, I want you to receive this gift of the divine will. I want you to receive heaven while on earth. I want you to begin to live a life that I originally planned for you. And that's what we're doing. We're recognizing that this time of justice will be good for some, but it's going to be bad for most. How can I say that? Well, let's just look at the churches. They're basically closing. Let's look at morning mass. I remember back in the 70s, it was filled with teenagers at morning mass. This is what we had in our town. And now the morning mass is very, very few. And they're in their 60s, 70s, and 80s. Well, in 15 years, those people are going to be gone. Like what I always like to say, we have one foot in the grave and the other foot on a banana peel. You know, it's the kingdom, Jesus says, has to come when the people clamor for it. But he first has to give the devil what the devil wants. He has to do that. So what we know in 1884, Pope Leo XIII heard the devil say, give me 100 years. And God said, you have it. Jesus said, you have it. Well, some people say that might have started in 1884, but that means his time would have been done in 1984. And as we can see, it's gotten far worse since 1984. So other people have said, well, 33 years later to the day was when Our Lady appeared at Fatima. And then October 13th, with the miracle of the sun, maybe that's the beginning. And that quite possibly may be. This year is very important. It's very important for God. It's important for us to prove to God that we want to live this universal life. We want to live this Catholic life. We want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We want to be obedient. And see, that's what that image up here is, the person with a hand to the ear. That was from Monte Cassino in Italy, St. Benedict's place. And he said, this is the virtue of obedience. To listen is to obey. To hear is to obey. So when the church says something, it's to obey, as long as it's not against faith and morals. It's to obey. To listen means God is speaking, and we must obey. To hear is to obey. So God has got great plans. There's phenomenal plans that are coming. It's the kingdom of God being established on earth as it is in heaven. And when we watch the DVD, Dawn of a Mystery, the Archbishop says very clearly, no saint in the history of the church has been able to explain how the kingdom is going to be established on earth as it is in heaven. He says, this is Luis's job. So as we read the 36 volumes, as we enter into this gift, how spectacular it is. So, Volume 13, November 22nd, 1921. My daughter Luisa, the pain that pierced me the most during my passion was the affectation, the pretentious, and the fake action of the Pharisees. They faked divine justice because they were the most unjust. So here we see the sin that bothers Jesus the most is the sin of the priests, the sins of the bishops of today. And we're not condemning anybody. We're just saying the to being pretentious is not what God wants. It's to live the true life of Jesus and to die for the truth, not to compromise. And I think we're going to see, talk about seeing, what was it, yesterday, executive order of President Johnson, was it yesterday, the day before, was reneged. That means from any pulpit now, anybody can say what they want. And you're going to hear things that are going to make your hair curl. Because, unfortunately, today, most are still linked to the desire for abortion, for euthanasia, for alternative lifestyles. And when that happens, you will have to make the distinction. I remember one friend of mine, when they were voting for somebody, they said, well, my father was this of the party, and I'm of the party, I will never change. I said, but they're pro-abortion. How can you do that? And so it doesn't matter. What matters is you have to be a member of the party. And I said, wow, that's really sad. There's no clear thinking here. See, we're going to be seen as fools if we're not already seen as fools. If you go to church, if you wear the scapular, if you pray the rosary, if you go to confession, if you're faithful to the church, you're seen as a fool. You're seen as someone who is not. I remember when I was in Yugoslavia before it was freed. It was a communist country, and they were proclaiming something, and they said, we will now do this. And I said, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go listen to your propaganda. And he said, you are ignorant. And then he said to everyone, you can follow the ignorant one, or you can follow me. We will see the truths of communism. And I went, this is insane. I was very surprised. The majority on the bus went with him. It's really a riot to think with truth, you have to suffer the consequences. And that's what Jesus is showing us about Luisa. He says, the pain that pierced me the most was the sins of the priests, of the bishops. And so therefore, Jesus says, do what they say, but don't follow their example. Okay, so God is asking us to really begin to, there's a movie out. It's called, what is it called? It's about that Russian, what's the name of that movie?
The Island.
The Island. If you want to see a great movie, it's called The Island. And it's about a Russian man who basically became a monk. And you'll see there the church. You'll see there that what Jesus is looking for is the simplicity of souls. Souls that believe sacred scripture. Souls that pray sacred scripture. Not just following the rules and regulations. And it's a great movie. It's a wonderful movie. It's called The Island. And there's another movie called The Island, and that's really gross. So make sure you find Russian. Russian Island. Somebody says, how can you promote The Island? Well, it's a great movie. I said, did you know what's in it? I go, no, not that island. the other island. But it really shows you the sadness that Jesus felt with the terrible plight of his priests. And Jesus says, I'm going to renew the priesthood. He says it very clearly. So don't be overwhelmed when you see some things that might be happening in the church. Pray. Your prayers are very powerful. Jesus says, if you have a prayer, if you have a faith the size of a mustard seed, which is smaller than the head of a pin, you could say to that mountain, move, and it must obey you. That's how powerful our prayers are. That's why in the command prayer, we're adding a couple lines, well, one line. And it says, right at the end, I believe I receive. Because Jesus says, ask, believe that you have received it, and it is yours. But see, he has to hear from our lips that we truly believe and we truly will receive. It doesn't matter what the situation is. You pray and watch the power of the prayer, especially if you're linking yourself with Louisa. Volume 13, December 22nd, 1921. My sweet Jesus transported me outside of myself and showed me how channels of water were opening under the sea, that opening their way underground, inundating the foundation of cities, and somewhere buildings collapsed. Somewhere they made them disappear as these chasms of water opened and swallowed them into the earth. And Jesus, all afflicted, said, man does not want to stop sin, and my justice is forced to strike him. Many are the cities that shall be struck by water. Many are the cities that shall be struck by fire. Many of the cities will be struck by earthquakes. We haven't seen anything yet. See, you have to remember, sin begets sin. And I remember last year, was it the year before, when they said sodomite marriages were legal? Did they forget about Sodom and Gomorrah? Did they forget what God did? And it seems like the world has forgotten. So Jesus says, okay, you want us to keep on sinning? Watch what my justice is going to do. See, we haven't seen anything yet. We haven't seen anything yet. The world, see, when we sin, it affects the world. When we sin, there are earthquakes. When we sin, there is fire. When we sin, there is floods. When we sin, there is plagues. We haven't even begun. We got a plague here in New York State. It's the tick plague. Back in the 90s, ticks weren't around here. Everybody now should get one of the. I was going to bring it, but I didn't. It's a tick eliminator. You put it on the tick and you pull it off, because we're going to be. There's ticks all. If you go outside, you will get. Now, if you know what Lyme disease is, it really affects you. My mom had Lyme disease, and I'll tell you, we didn't know what it was. And but I'll tell you, it really affected her horribly. And it's the same thing. The plagues are coming. You know, there's the threat of nuclear war. See, God has to give man what man wants. You want sin, then you're going to have sin. You want demons, then you're going to have demons. As you know what happened this past year. It's now legal to have prayer to Satan in the United States. It's legal. This is insanity. But Jesus has to give everybody wants it. So what do we want? Jesus says that. He keeps on saying, what do you want? And we say, Lord, I want your kingdom to be established on earth as it is in heaven. God says, okay, prove it to me. Okay, how do we prove that the kingdom is going to be established on earth as it is in heaven? He says, by reading the book of heaven. The more that you read, the more you will understand this. Now, this is one of the reasons why we have iPads, iPhones, why we have computers, is the devil does not want us to read. He'll find many things for us to focus on, except for this book of heaven. And as we put everything else aside, when we focus on the book of heaven, everything begins to change in us. Why? Because you've entered into heaven while on earth. You become peaceful, joyful, and happy. When you begin to read the book of heaven, what happens at that point is there's no more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more sin. Little by little, this happens. Now, at this point, this hasn't occurred. Why? Because we still have to go to confession each week. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. Every week. Even though God has given us the book of heaven, we have not freed our human will of being in charge. That's our human will. If you want to know what your human will is, what did you say in confession? That's your human will. What did you confess to the priest in confession? That's your human will. And if you're really honest, you know, and really dig deep, watch what God will show you. He'll show you things that you have forgotten to confess. He loves us so much that when we go to confession, see, a lot of times people go to confession and they say, well, the priest says just say one sin. That's all that's needed. That's not what confession is. If you don't confess your sins, they're not forgiven. Now, if you can't remember your sins, that's a different story. But if you have to, the unforgiven sin is the sin that's not confessed. That's why you should go through your life with like a fine-tooth comb and look at every thought, every word, every deed, everything that you failed to do. That's quite a bit. And then go to confession. It's not just, bless me, Father, for I have sinned, I got angry. No, really? Well, that's not going to confession. It's very, very important that we really begin to live our Catholic faith, not to compromise it. So, again, the earthquakes, the fire, the famine, the plagues, it's all coming. God has to give the world what they want. Volume 13, December 28, 1921. Now listen, calm yourself, Louisa. I shall do what you, Louisa, want. But not because you, Louisa, want it. Rather, as if I, God, myself, wanted it. Aren't you happy? So here we see in Volume 13 how much Louisa loves Jesus and how much Jesus loves Louisa. She's not going to ask for anything that Jesus does not want. Now, we do that constantly. We get focused on our family. We get focused on our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers. We get focused on our finances. We get focused on our health. We get focused on everything. And Jesus says, what do you want? And he says, well, I need this, 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 and this. God says, okay, what else do you want? That's it. That's okay. That's all I want. See, Jesus says, I want my kingdom to be established. I want all mankind into heaven. What do you want? Well, I think I need a new tire and maybe a new washer machine and possibly, God goes, okay, if that's all you want, then that you'll have. Now, this is what you need to do. See, God is generous. He cannot force us. So he says, what do you want? So every night, the Lord, before you go to sleep, the Lord says, what did you do today? What did you want today? What do you want tomorrow? And our life has to be like Louisa's. I want this because you, Jesus, want the kingdom. I want the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Why? Because you want this, Jesus. And he says, he will give this to those that want what he wants. I remember this one girl in our prayer group. She says, I want a new car. And I said, well, we'll pray. And she went to the bank and they wouldn't give it to her. And I said, well, God answers your prayer. She goes, I want that car. And I said, okay, pray. And she goes, goes to the bank, and they said, no. And then I said, well, Jesus has said you're not. She said, I want that car. And I said, okay, pray, go to the bank. And nothing happened. I said, well, that's three strikes. Come on. She goes, well, I want that car. She went to the bank, and she got the car. And she goes, see, God wanted me to have that car. And I went, okay. And then she says, well, I can't come to the prayer groups anymore because I got to work late at night to pay for the car. So she got what she wanted, but she also got the consequences of it. See, Jesus, it's when Jesus says yes, it's yes. When Jesus says no, it's no. But if you demand from God, he says, well, do what you want. And so that's where we have to begin to listen to Jesus. You know, he speaks to us continuously. In the divine will, you don't even have to say anything. You can just go, you know, thinking, I really need this. And you go and just forget about it. There it is the next day. That's how God works in the divine will. You know, it's just really amazing that the Lord loves us so much that he gives us what we want. And when we prove to him we want the divine will more than anything, then he's just overflowing with gifts constantly. And why? Because he loves us so much. See, he knows that when the kingdom is established on earth as it is in heaven, there's no more need to pray for healings. Because everybody will be healed. So when what the saints have taught us is to pray for the Band-Aid on the healing. And everybody that was healed 100 years ago is dead. Jesus says, I want the miracle of miracles to occur. I want my children to enter into this life of the divine will. This is what God is looking for. So, he says, after all, a little suspension of your state is necessary. And that was her suffering. And I have no one to whom to entrust you. Who could do it? They have hearts covered with an iron armor. Now, he's talking about the priests. My voices are neither listened to nor understood. The sins are horrendous. The sacrilege is enormous. The scourges are already at the doors of the city. There will be great mortality. Now, this is 1921. This is, you know, when somebody says everything has changed since Vatican II. Well, read this. This is way before Vatican II. There was an evil going on before Vatican II. And they, you know, everybody wants to blame Vatican II, but I'll tell you, before Vatican II, I saw the sufferings of the priests, of the sisters, from their the people that they were under, and this is the reason why when Vatican II came, the convents were emptied, the seminaries were emptied. In my town, 7 priests in 7 years left the priesthood. Why? Because they were freed from what was going on before. So don't tell me, you know, since Vatican II, everything's fallen apart. No, I think it's been happening a long time. It's the human will. That's what we've been living. And now Jesus is saying, I want my divine will to reign, to take the place of your human will. And see, when we really begin to understand that we're not to gossip about people and condemn bishops and priests and deacons and nuns, what happens at that point is we really begin to see it's within us. I remember that 30-day silent retreat we went on. The priest who gave the retreat said, he says, we had no TV, no radio, no, we didn't have computers at the time, but nothing. And he says, now you're going to experience the demons within. And we went, what demons within? It was really a riot. And so in the silence, all of a sudden, you know, your thoughts, your words, your deeds, everything was there because we weren't distracted by anything else. And see, that's what happens here too. When you start focusing on the divine will, when you start getting rid of your distractions, get rid of your hobbies, what happens at that point is you're facing Jesus and the devil. You're facing Jesus who says, this is what I want for you, and the devil that says, this is what I want for you. And that's why St. Augustine says, by the end of our life, we are either going to be divinized or demonized. You know, when you look at all the bishops, the priests, the deacons, the nuns who are, I'll just put a slight word, wacko, what happens at that point? Why? It's once they became religious, they said, I've obtained what I wanted. And then they slightly back off of their prayer. And then they continue to fall away. And they continue to fall away. And then social justice is everything for them. And they got everything backwards. Scripture says to love God with your whole mind, your whole heart, and all your strength. And then to love your neighbor as yourself. Because then you know how to do it. Mother Teresa was very clear. She spent 5 hours on her knees in front of the Blessed Sacrament every day, and then 5 hours out on the street, picking up the dead, picking up the lame, picking up the sick, and bringing them into her convent. She had everything in proper order. Social justice, and that's unfortunately that's what's going to happen this summer on July 4th. They've been planning this for 6 years. You're going to see the church focusing on social justice rather than God. That's what the devil does. He reverses everything. You know, well, we're doing everything correctly. Well, that's why he gave us the Book of Heaven. As you begin to read the Book of Heaven, everything changes. Like he says, the sins, and again, in 1921, are horrendous. The sacrileges are enormous. The scourges are already at the doors of the city, and there will be great mortality. This is what's coming. You have to understand. Therefore, a little suspension of your state of suffering, Louisa, which prevents the course of my divine justice, is needed. You, Louisa, shall give me, God, free time to come to earth, basically, and I, withdrawing, without making you go out of my will, shall give you all that you need. So he comes to earth with what? Divine justice. If people want sin, God says, Sodom and Gomorrah, you want sin? Okay, we'll send fire from heaven. You want that? This is what we'll give you. You want to suffer? Let's start suffering now. See, it's. Look at your families. The majority that are not at church. The majorities who are married outside of the love of the church. Look at the people that are dying who have no masses said for them. These are good Catholics. Their family doesn't want them to have masses. Look at the people, you know, look what's happening. The confession is just dissolved. See, we have to get back to the Catholic life. We have to get back to this universal life. Jesus says, when the divine will reigns, watch the power that's going to come out of those that receive the sacraments. We haven't seen anything yet. God wants to fill the earth with his life, his love, his light. That's what the divine will is all about. He says very, very clearly, the following day, my queen mother came, Mary, and bringing the baby, little baby Jesus to me, and she placed Jesus in my arms and told me, my daughter Louisa, hold Jesus tightly. Don't let go of him. If you knew what he wants to do, pray to him, pray to him. Prayer in his most holy divine will enraptures Jesus, chains Jesus. At least some of the scourges would be held back. See, the angels, it's the same thing with the angels. When the angels see us sin, the first thing they want to do is crush us with their thumb. They want to annihilate us because they know how horrible sin is. But at the same time, they see the blood of Jesus on us and they step back. Jesus died for us. And yet we continue to sin. See, we don't have the horror of sin. We don't know how terrible sin is. We don't hate sin. I mean, we watch TV and there'll be a comedy show and somebody's living an alternative lifestyle and that's cute. Isn't that funny? No. You turn the TV off and you never watch that show again. It's not funny. It's not humorous. It's death. Do you know what Jesus Christ said to St. Catherine when he talked to her about homosexuality? He says, it is so horrible. It is so horrible that the demons turn their faces in disgust. The demons turn their faces. Why? Because they were once angelic and they know how disgusting this is. They're even sickened by it. That's what Jesus said to St. Catherine of Siena. Again, we have to understand what Jesus says. He says very clearly, if you knew what Jesus wants to do, pray to him, pray to him. Prayer in the holy divine will enraptures Jesus, change Jesus. At least some of the scourges would be held back. After Our Lady said that, she disappeared, and I returned to the tragic doubt that I might have induced Jesus to do my human will. See, this is this is the great love Louisa has for Jesus. She does not want to get near her human will. She knows how corrupt it is, and she wants nothing to do with it. See, our life here is to be Catholic. Our life here is to be one with God. We have, when we're baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We do not belong to ourselves anymore. We have been ontologically changed through that water of baptism. And Jesus says very clearly, he says, I baptize you as a priest, a prophet, and a king. See, we have to begin to live this life. This is what Jesus says. As you enter into this life, watch what I'm going to do. Volume 14, March 22nd, 1922. As you, Louisa, were refusing your thoughts in my holy divine will, my thoughts that surround you like a crown heard the echo of my thoughts in your mind, identifying themselves with yours and multiplied your thoughts with mine and formed a double crown around the human intelligence. See that? See what's happening here? Is he begins to transform us. He begins to transmute us. This double crown is just the beginning. He says, for the children of my divine will, I'm going to crown them triply. It's the triple crown of God that the children of the divine will are going to receive. And the first one, next to Louisa, who will receive this triple crown. Where is the triple crown of the Pope? It's if you look in at the cathedral in the Basilica in Washington, the Immaculate Conception, go downstairs to the crypt, and before you go in, just turn your back and look behind you, and there's the triple crown of the Pope. He doesn't have it anymore. And the saints say that one day the papal crown will be given back to the Pope. Whoever thought that it would be taken away? There it is. And the first one next to Louisa who will receive this triple crown is the Pope. Then all the children of the divine will receive this crown. See, this is what God's got planned is really glorious. Everyone will be Catholic. That's what he says in Volume 24. The Buddhists, the Hindus, the Protestants, the Muslims, all will be Catholic. There'll be one church, one flock, one shepherd. That's what Christ promises in the New Testament, and that's what he tells Louisa in the Book of Heaven. It's going to happen. It's going to happen soon. And my celestial Father received not only from me, but also from you, Louisa, divine glory on the part of all created intelligences, the same with the words and the same with all the rest. You see, Louisa then begins to share in the divinity of Christ. This is what the priest prays at Holy Mass every day when he puts the drop of water in the chalice. May we share in the divinity of Christ as Christ humbles himself to share our humanity. That has begun with Louisa, and Jesus now wants to offer that to the souls who are linked to Louisa. And he receives his divine glory not only from all souls, but from all other created things, every animal, vegetable, and mineral, every blade of grass, every grain of sand, every drop of water. Because all things were created to make continuous I love yous run towards mankind. And mankind, by divine justice, this is what God wants to give us, should give the homage and the love back to his creator for each created thing. He said to Adam, I could have put voices on everything, but I gave you, Adam, the voice to give back to me all the glory, all the honor, all the praise, all the love. And that's why this book, the rounds are so important. We begin to understand that our life here on earth is to live a life of heaven, glorifying God, worshiping God, praising God, loving God. That has to become our life. And as we get rid of all the distractions that are around us, we begin to live heaven on earth. That's what Jesus is asking. So we'll end there in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We'll be back in 15 minutes.